What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy. And without further ado, from 102.3 WBAB and 102.5 The Bone, from the Roger and JP show, Roger is back on Hoppy Hour. What's going on, man?
Hey, Hoppy, how are you, buddy? My pleasure. I love being on with you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. First of all, you guys are absolutely crushing it in the ratings. And I remember, like, the thing within the office, because when I first joined Bones, when you guys first joined, everybody pretty much knew you guys were going to do well. But a lot of the listeners were kind of hating on you guys, just saying you were out of towners from New York and whatnot. So yeah. How does it feel 6 years later, more than a half a decade, that you guys have proven Tampa wrong and are just kicking ass in prime time?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's nice to know that we're accepted. And I mean, we have so much fun every day, honestly, with the audience. I mean, we love the Bone audience. No matter what topic we bring up, somebody knows something about it or knows someone who's done some stupid thing, you know, whatever it is, the back and forth with the audience is amazing. And that's why we love doing the show. We literally enjoy doing the show. And we knew we had to prove ourselves in the beginning. We understand, we get it. And the fact that the Tampa audience has been so accepting is like super rewarding. And you're right. I mean, the recent ratings have been are really good from what I heard. And that's for the whole station besides us. And it's very rewarding to know that that's there. And I'll tell you, it's been a quick 6 years, though, to go from being the new guys to being, you know, 6 years in. I still feel like the new guys, though.
Yeah, because you have Drew, who's been in like Florida for 25 years, and then you got Kelta, who's been here since 1989. Did they give you any advice when you guys first came in about coming into the Tampa market, or John Brennan or whatnot?
You know, I don't remember anything like particular. Just, you know, they were saying, just, you know, do your show, do what you guys do, and they'll love you. And you know, we just went, I mean, honestly, we didn't know how to do the show any other way, except being ourselves, which is, I mean, that's what we are. We don't try to play like roles or anything. It's just, this is who we are, and we mesh a certain way, and there's a certain chemistry, and that's what the show has always been. So they're like, just go do what you do and have a good time. And the guy, Steve Smith, who was up in the upper echelon of corporate, was like, listen, you guys do this. I know you're going to do fine. He was kind of championing us at the time, and he was right, and it worked out great. And so we just went and did our show with that confidence, and it's worked out really great. I mean, honestly, we love coming to Florida to see everybody. But I mean, I wish we were there, but we love doing the show. It really is. It's fun every day. It literally is fun every day.
So now, I often hear JP on air say how different the morning show at WBAB is compared to the midday show at The Bone. Besides you guys playing much more music, obviously, besides rejoinder music, what are some other clear differences about the morning show you've been doing for 21 years compared to The Bone show you've been doing for 6?
Yeah, well, the obvious thing is, clearly, like you said, the music. So what that does is playing all that music makes how long we talk much shorter. So here we have, you know, on The Bone, we have full conversations, Brett's throwing in sounds and music, and we're laughing, and we each get to say what we think, and then we're throwing in callers. So that makes those blocks of fun great on The Bone. Now, we can do smaller blocks of fun on our other show in New York in the morning with music, but because that's just the way it is. So it's just a different skill and a different presentation of sometimes similar material or whatever, but it's still our personality. It's still us, even though it's a shortened version. But we may talk for 5 or 4 or 6 or 7 minutes instead of 14 or 17 minutes, you know, whatever it is on The Bone. You know, it's at least half of that, if not less. So it's really, it's like music, you know. You have jam bands that can do a 14-minute song, and then you have other bands that do hits in 3.5 minutes. And so that's kind of the difference between the two formats. And that's really the biggest difference. We also do, you know, we do traffic reports and weather and, you know, that kind of stuff. We have a couple local politicians on, so it's local to Long Island and New York, and it's got a totally different feel to it. But if you guys heard it, you'll be like, oh yeah, well, that's Roger, that's JP, there's Brett, there's Special Ted, you know, And you would recognize it's just in like a different form, you know, different uniform, so to speak.
You guys do this really cool thing that like rock and roll DJs used to do on 97.9 The Loop when I was growing up in Chicago, and also hip hop radio would do in Chicago, where a lot of times when you're listening to morning shows, they just say, here is Pink Floyd Money. But you guys do this thing, and I haven't listened for like 2 or 3 years, but when I would be up in the morning when I had a second job, I would listen, and you guys talk into the song, but you don't say the name of the song. And I thought that was, I remember I was like half awake, and I thought that was the coolest thing. The way you guys aren't like, here's Pink Floyd Money. You guys would have like a one liner or whatnot, and then the song would begin playing. And I'm like, damn, they just hit the post.
Yeah, that's what we do. I mean, you know, we need as much time. We take every second we can to talk on the other show. So, and there's no reason to say the name of the song. Do you really need to tell people it's Pink Floyd Money, or it's Take the Money and Run from Steve Miller, or it's Tumble and Dice from the Stones? I mean, we all know those songs, and especially the audience that we have on the station is, 30 to 60, you know, whatever, 30 to dead. So everybody has heard all those songs and know them and probably own most of them. So there's nothing, we're not playing anything new. It's all classic rock. So that's how that works. And then there's no reason to tell them what they already know. And it gives us a few more seconds to talk about other stuff, maybe 30 seconds or what, and it all adds up to an extra minute or three or four in a show. So you can see we're always like trying to squeeze more juice out of the orange of our other show just to get more of our content on the air. And at the Bone, that's not even an issue because obviously we have the whole show from 11 to 2 to talk about what we want and give our opinions and have fun with everybody. And so that's, like I said, it's two different styles, two different kinds of art, you know?
So now, a lot of times over the years, you've had like Opie and Anthony get in trouble, Howard got in trouble, Mancow, Don Imus, all the like big name shock jocks got in trouble. But you guys are edgy as hell. You guys can be a little, I wouldn't say crass, but just kind of like in your face. But then you guys like, well, it's like you're about to go over the line, but then you guys walk back and you guys do it perfectly. Yeah. Has there ever been a time, though, in like the 25 to 30 years you guys have been in radio where you guys did get in trouble, maybe with the FCC or with the media?
A long time ago when we first started, an old program director of ours thought it would be great. We get some good press and have a great time. It was in the Christmas season. And I think we told the story on the air at the moment for sure. But, it was early on our career, and he was like, all right, you guys, you're going to set an appointment. Everybody's going to show up and listen to you on the radio 7:20 Monday morning. And JP, you're going to announce that there's no such thing as Santa Claus. Now, that's a long time ago. That was maybe in 02, 01. I'm not even sure. And it might have been our first, you know, year in 2000. Yeah, you know what? Actually, it probably was. And, it got a lot of press. Paula Zahn from CNN called. Like all sorts, we got international press on it, and that was clearly not everything we bargained for. And we didn't think it would be that big, but I mean, in the meeting, I was like, are we sure we want to do this? I don't know if this isn't a good idea. I have kids, I don't think it's a good idea. But our PD was like, listen, it's going to be great. You get some good press, it'll be fine. And we're like, okay. And so we did it and got in all sorts of trouble with our audience and the press. So, That's fine. And then we got in trouble another time for a bit a long time ago. That wasn't our fault. I mean, our radio station signal got hacked, literally got hacked. And we were on the air, and Pink Floyd was playing. It wasn't Money. It was something else. And in the middle of the song, something else starts playing. And we're looking at our producer, who wasn't Brett at the time, it was Wolfie. And he's looking at us. He's like, I don't know where the sound is coming from. It actually took over our radio signal, and it was a racist song, Johnny something. I don't remember, Johnny Rebel or something like that. And it was a horrible song with the N-word through it like 100 times. And we couldn't turn it off. All our volume pots are down. We're like, we're not in control of our radio signal. What is going on? It turns out, and it made front page headlines the next day, you know, radio DJs play racist song, you know, whatever. And then they have quotes from us saying, listen, we didn't play it. And nobody, of course, believes you. But what happened was somebody who had maybe a 10-watt transmitter in the trunk of their car parked underneath our signal. Like, we shoot a radio signal from our roof to another tower, right? So they knew, it's probably a radio engineer, they knew if they parked under it, they could shoot a signal up into the air in that exact line of sight, and it would intercept and be shot somehow by microwave to the tower. And they played this song from their car through that transmitter into our signal, and it played out over our signal for like, I don't know, 40 seconds. We have the air check of it. It's on our, it's like the only thing on our Wikipedia page. And it's, we were hijacked, and it made front page headlines here. So that actually wasn't our fault, but, you know, they had a hard time believing us, because I think a week before we got in trouble for a bit, it was a little edgy. And that made the paper too. So the second thing that happens, you're like, yeah, we don't believe you. You got in trouble like a week ago. But it really, legitimately wasn't our fault. And we still to this day don't know who the radio person was who maybe had the ability and knowledge to intercept our signal and put out a racist song. And my quote, we were just looking at it. I think today Brett was looking at it on Wikipedia. And my quote was, in my 22 years of radio, I've never seen anything like that. It was absolutely racist, but it wasn't coming from us, you know, something like that. And that, so we got kind of punked by somebody, and we still don't know who. It was a long time ago.
Now, what's the situation like? Because I know you're more, I wouldn't say level-headed, but you're more calm, and JP is the guy that gets mad in a way. Like, it's just like Roger and JP. Like, you're the angel, he's the devil. And then Wolfie was there, who I'm not, I've never heard of Wolfie, but like with all the characters and then the PD, like what's the situation like when a racist song is playing? Cause I mean, I've been there like when a swear's gone over the air and there's panic. Yeah. So what's it like when you don't know what the hell to do?
Yeah, we'll have to play that air check on our show sometime soon, because it was panic in the studio where we're looking at each other, and our producer Wolfie was, he was, absolutely, his heartbeat went through the roof. He's looking around. We're like, Wolfie, what is this? He's like, I have no idea. And then he showed me. He's like, look, the whole board is on zero. He goes, there's nothing coming out of this audio board. And we're like, how is this even possible? And it's playing, and we have no control. None. And then I'm hearing it. I'm like, this is not good. I said, the only thing we can do is turn off the transmitter or turn down the transmitter, you know? So he lowered the power on the transmitter, and eventually the song ran out. And he had the power back up, I think. I think that's what we did. I don't know if there's anything else we could do. Like, again, we're, it's out of our control, but we had, that's like the only thing we could do. And I think that's what we did. And then eventually we came back and I stumbled through, like, I don't know what that was. It was absolutely racist. We're sorry you heard it, but it didn't come from us, you know, and we had no explanation like I do now. You know, I had no idea. Our engineer had to explain it to us.
So I've actually, I forgot that happened. I've actually done like research on WBAB when I was bored. So I looked up the Johnny Rebel guy, and he died like 5 years ago. And he was like a home, he was like a hometown hero in his like hometown. And the funny part was in the obituary, they go, he was known for such hits as, and they talked about the clean hits. They didn't talk about any of the racist songs. So in the obituary, they made him come off like a good guy. It was pretty laughable.
Yeah, my impression is he did like Klan songs. I mean, it was bad. It was horribly racist. You know, people say things are racist now that never used to be. Listen, this was racist every day it was around, the song. There's no question this song and other stuff he did was racist. I mean, it just was. It's horrible stuff. So, well, whatever. He's moved on, and hopefully that stuff doesn't see the light of day anymore. I mean, it's bad.
So,
like Klan rally music. Like, it's horrible.
So here's the thing. I've you guys brought it up to me when I was talking radio with you when I first met you guys at the bar crawl 6 years ago, and you've talked about it on air, but I'm just fascinated by it because I grew up listening to Opie and Anthony. What was the moment like where you guys thought you were going to replace Don and Mike in New York, and then Opie and Anthony get caught with Sex with Sam? Because like obviously that was a blown opportunity and it must have hurt, but what's the feeling like where Sex for Sam happens and then you realize, yeah, we're probably not going to be going to WNEW?
Yeah, we were supposed to have a meeting that, Sex for Sam, I think, happened on a Friday afternoon, and it was St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, and people having sex like in the back of the church or something, and it was some contest, and Jim Cook from Sam Adams was in the studio, and he hasn't done radio since then because of that incident. He won't go on the radio, and he used to stop by our show once in a while. The guy who, you know, cooked, who made Sam Adams in his kitchen, Jim Cook, on the commercials, he would come by and bring us beer and come by once a year, twice a year, whatever it was. And now he won't even go on the radio because he doesn't want to be anywhere near anything like that ever again. So they had that contest. The contest goes off the rails. Complaints come in. People are fired by Monday. Including, thing is, their management knew they were going to do this, so the management got fired. Every person that we were meeting with, that would be three, got fired And so Monday, we were supposed to have a meeting in the afternoon with WNAW, which was like the Bone at the time. This is early 2000s. And no. Well, whatever year it was, listen, it was an opportunity we were like salivating to have. This station was hot. O&A were in the afternoons and killing it. And we were going to be the guys who were on right before them because we, you know, Opie worked at our station before that. And we know him and we know Anthony very well. And it would have been great because we work well together. But then all the guys got fired. We have someone to have the meeting with. And what a horrible feeling to know that meeting may have led to that next amazing job that many years ago. And we would have had a whole different career. And of course, the format, I mean, after a while it went away, but it was because of events. Who knows what would have happened, but we did not get that job. And it was very depressing for about 2 weeks. We were just like long faced, like, I can't believe this even happened to us. This is like the story of our career. Like, we just, things like that happen all the time, you know. Somebody offers us, you know, maybe this will be a good idea. We're like, let's talk in 6 months. Then the format disappears. You know, whatever it is, you know, it's something that's just happened with us. But, you know, in hindsight, we've been very fortunate to have a very steady career in New York. And then in the last 6 years to have the Bone has been like a blessing. So, like, it's great to be able to do two different kinds of shows and to have this career. We're very fortunate in this business right now to have two jobs and two shows when there's a lot of people in radio who don't have one show. And or who have a show that they hate. We love both our shows, and it's a great thing. We're very fortunate in the long run, but in the short run, that sucked. That was horrible.
So when Opie and Anthony were at WBAB, did you see the potential they had, or did you just kind of see them as like another show?
Yeah, I was doing afternoons, so I got off at 7. I was on from 3 to 7, and this is in the 90s. I was on 3 to 7, and Opie was on 7 to midnight, and Anthony was a listener. And Anthony would call in, and he was great. And then he would come in the studio and start doing stuff. And Opie knew. I mean, like the next day after Anthony was on the first time, he was like, he goes, this is the guy. He goes, I feel like I just met the girl I want to marry. He goes, that's how much I know this is the guy I've paired with. And, I mean, that was a great moment to be able to know to see that. And then I'll tell you what was surprising. They're great. At the time, they were very raw together. I mean, clearly they're professionals and became an amazing duo. Amazing. But at the time, you could see all the raw talent and potential. And then when they got the job at AAF in Worcester, Mass, it was surprising. Like, God, they got a job quick. I mean, it was fast they got that job. And then they just blew up Boston and were great. And they've been, you know, they were huge right after that for a long time, you know. So, yeah, you could see it from the beginning.
So how did you get into radio? Because for me, I would say Opie and Anthony were like a huge influence because when they were syndicated in Chicago in 2006, I never heard anything like it. So for you, did you just kind of get into radio or were you like a radio geek?
I wasn't a radio geek. I was a music geek. You know, I was when I was in high school, I had a guitar and an amp and I played every day when I came home and, you know, I put on Back in Black and try to play it straight through and Van Halen 1 and Molly Hatchet Flirting with Disaster and ZZ Top the Quail, all these great albums. And I was just, I wanted to play, I played the guitar since I was a kid, since I was like 6. So, I mean, I wasn't great, but I, you know, 3 power chords in a dream, I could figure out a lot of these songs. And I would come home and play for like 2-3 hours a day. So I loved music. And so I loved album rock. I was listening to Hartford Rock Station, CCC, where Howard was before he went to New York City. And I used to hear Howard on CCC way early in his career. And then I listened to HCN in Hartford, the competitor, and I just love music. So I love listening to radio and music. And then my voice kind of changed a little bit. And a lady in a store said to me and my mom as we were checking out of the store, she's like, oh, you have a nice voice. Like, oh, okay. I was really embarrassed. You know, I was a shy kid. I didn't know what she was talking about. And I got in the car and my mom goes, you know, you do have a nice voice. People say that all the time. You want to look at the radio because Connecticut School of Broadcasting was advertising on the radio all the time. We were living in Connecticut at the time. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Maybe, you know, so I went and tried out. Of course, I got accepted because they want everybody to be accepted. And it was $100 a week for 16 weeks. And I graduated from the first high school class they ever had at CSB. And I knew, I was like, well, let's try this and see if you like it. And if you do, then go to college for it. And so I loved it. I got the bug after the first class. I had the radio bug. I couldn't wait. And from then, it was really going to college for it. And I heard tapes of, you know, I mean, Howard was obviously just someone to hear, like, this radio is amazing. And hearing some of the great jocks on CBS FM in New York City, or, you know, Imus and Howard on NBC in New York City. And then hearing tapes of guys like the Grease Man when he was at DC 101 or at WAPE in Jacksonville. I mean, the Grease Man is definitely, like, the stuff he used to do was nuts at the time.
And I love
all
the
that just opened my mind to all that.
I love the Grease Man. It's very unfortunate that he would say dumb things.
Yeah, I mean, these things happen. But, you know, and back then radio was very different, but he was different from Howard. And, you know, they were two very different type people, but who were getting big ratings and doing real well. And so I started to love the tapes of all these people. But my guys were really like, you know, Scott Muni and Pat St. John, like classic album rock DJs. And they influenced me a lot. And so that's what I became in the station I ended up being at in New York, on Long Island. Is a station I'm still at, and they influenced my style a lot. But, you know, that's just who I was. You know, I was never going to be the Grease Man. I was never going to be Howard. That wasn't my style. So I am who I am, and it's gone pretty well. So I'll take it. And I love radio. Love it.
You should definitely be happy with it, because I went to ICB. It was like not related to CSB, but it was the same thing in Illinois. And it was, bro, when I tell you, it was the weirdest year of my life. So you had people that were 18 years old that should not have been there because they accepted everybody. And then there was a 7-year-old guy, and there were like people that were middle-aged. And I'll never forget, there was this guy who kind of had like your voice, but all he did was smoke cigarettes. So it sounded rough. And he was like, I'm here because I've been told I have a radio voice. And like none of them got jobs. And I'm like the only one that got like a legitimate job. Some of them are board ops in like DeKalb, Illinois. But it was so fascinating because like we had this one teacher named Rich Rennick, who is this Chicago guy who you had to hit the post. You had to hit the post. And then here I am. I'm wanting to do like a 14-minute talk segment because I love the bone in Illinois. And it's just funny. Like, I don't know if you had any classmates in your class, but you look at some of them and you're not trying to be cocky, but you're like, come on, bro. I don't think you should be here.
Yeah. In my high school class, I think one other guy got a job like at a small station in Massachusetts. And I'm pretty sure I went on and the rest of the field, I don't think really did anything. But in college is like a better test, you know, when you look around you. I went to college with a few guys who really did very well and went on to do, you know, Mad Dog Radio on Sirius. My buddy Steve Torrey was my roommate. He's like Mad Dog's like program director or something. I don't know if he even knows if his voice is even on Mad Dog Radio, but he's been in there a long time, and he was in sports radio for the longest time. And he was a couple years behind me. And then Brian Kilmeade on Fox News was there at the radio station the same time as me. And, of course, he's probably the biggest person to come out of my college radio station. And there's other guys too who went on and did radio for a while, but most of them honestly are out of radio. This guy actually, Maimon, one of the engineers for Rush Limbaugh for decades. Rush just passing away made a lot of headlines, but he would say, Maimon, hit cut number 3, you know, whatever. That was Mike Maimon. He was a senior when I was, I think, a sophomore and at my college, CW Post on Long Island. And so he was an ABC network engineer for a very long time, and still is. And he's doing it probably 40 years. So. It's cool to see all of us do some pretty cool stuff, but that's not out of my high school group, that's for sure. That was out of college. So.
You know how when you listen to like Howard or Opie and Anthony in their prime, you can hear the greatness? I felt the same thing with Rush Limbaugh. I just thought he was repulsive. It's so bizarre. Like, the guy, man, did a one-man show, and like I didn't agree, and a lot of his opinions would get me mad, and I could only listen for like 5 minutes at a time, and I think I listened 10 times in my life. But goddamn, I don't think there's ever going to be somebody as polarizing as Rush Limbaugh. Like, you can say what you want. People were like glad he was dead, which I wasn't really cool with. But man, that guy was good at radio.
Yeah, he was very good at radio. And his replays are still on now, where there's like hosts and they talk about what's going on now in politics or whatever. And they're like, here's what Rush said back in this time. Here's what he said about racism or, you know, the southern border or whatever the topic is, right? And then they play highlights of him. It's been going on since he died. That is on 650 radio stations right now and still going, you know, and there's going to be some stations that replace him with like a Dan Bongino or replace him with a local host or whatever it is. But for now, he's still running on over 600 radio stations. That is a lot, especially posthumously. That's a lot. And I hear it. I've heard it. And it's actually still good because what he said applies to things going on now. I just don't know how long that'll last, you know, with the audience. Sometimes, you know, you can get tired of it, or maybe it's what the audience wants and they'll listen to it for years. We'll see. It's interesting to see what goes on, that a guy who's dead could be getting ratings and be on 600 plus radio stations. And it'd be, let's see how long it lasts. It's only been a couple of months. Let's see if it lasts a year and if it lasts longer than that. It'll be interesting to watch.
I think Dan Bongino's going to bomb. I think he's good at what he does. Again, he's a good radio guy. I find him repulsive, but he's good at what he does. But I just don't know if that... I just don't know if that older generation is going to be down with him like as like the younger guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, let's see what happens. You know, he just got some big money to do a show. So, let's see what goes on. Let's see where radio goes from here. You know, there's a lot of this talk happening now that like formats like The Bone, like Tampa has a unique radio station. There are not. Like, you can count them on one hand, the stations that are doing what The Bone is doing. And honestly, none of the other ones are doing it as well, yeah. I don't think, as The Bone. So there's talk, you know, in the industry, it's starting to rattle about these hot talk stations. I don't know if that's not the right phrase for what
it
The
is.
Bone does, for
example. I think it is.
But you think it is? I don't know. It's got to be called something else. But anyway, I've thought for 5-6 years, I've thought this is the format of the future. And I've been waiting, like, why isn't it catching fire? This is what people are going to want. This is the format. They've got news talk and sports talk and political talk. They've had all of that for 30 years. This is new and different and awesome. And outside of Tampa, a lot of people don't even know this exists. And I think this is the format that's going to be huge in the next couple of years.
Well, I look at some of the radio news accounts on Twitter. One is Radio Insight. It's this guy who posts articles, and he posts the ratings. And in Orlando, Real Radio 104.1 just put up like huge ratings. And then he was even kind of saying that he was mentioning The Bone. And then funny, believe it or not, he mentioned WMMS, where Rover works in Cleveland, where I worked. And they're kind of hot talk because in the morning and afternoon, they got like shock jock radio. It's more shock jock up there than it is in Tampa. But what I'm saying is he was even kind of saying like that there was like a thing with WMMS in Cleveland, Real Radio, and then obviously The Bone with the huge ratings, that there should be something to it. I just think, Roger, it's got to be done right, because I just am afraid of cancel culture. Obviously, nobody at The Bone could be canceled because everybody does it right. But I just think it would need to be rolled out and you'd have to have the right people.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Of course. You just have to get the best shows with the best content that people love and that people attach to and people want to be a part of. And that's the key to the whole thing. And that's what I love about it, is this is the format of the future because the audience is a part of it, not just on the phone, but on social media. Everybody can make comments during the show, in the Bone chat. There's Bone TV. Like, there's so many elements to it. This is the perfect radio format for what's going on in the last, like I said, 6 years. I've been waiting for it to blow up and go everywhere. But for now, it's almost like, you know, Tampa and a couple other cities' secrets. And now they're starting to take notice. So let's see if it, you know, becomes a bigger thing. But, I mean, we've had it all along here in Tampa, so that's a good thing.
So now,
great.
Before I let you go, where can people find both your morning show and your midday show? And where can they listen?
Yeah. Well, of course, there's apps for both radio stations. If you, you know, The Bone in Tampa, just search, you know, in your app store, The Bone Tampa, and you'll see it right there. You can listen anytime you want, no matter where you are in the country. And then our show on Long Island is WBAB. That was a call letter. It's 102.3. So if you look up Roger and JP Long Island, you'll see what the station is. And then search for that app as well. And that's the way you can do it if you're not in New York or Tampa. You can stream us anytime you want. And then, you know, if it's not the right time, both apps are by the same company. They're very similar. You'll find a Roger and JP section on each one of them, and you can listen to highlights, you know, until you fall asleep. I mean, there's so many of them. You can listen for weeks of both stations. So feel free. Listen as much as you want. Listen to us live. Call us. Text us. Tweet us. Whatever you want to do. And be in touch with us, because we love having new listeners. And if you don't know the shows, either one of them, feel free to listen. And like them, dislike them, whatever. But listen to one of the two. They're two. Like I said, they're two very different shows. But we'll take it. Every new listener we can get, and every one of you listening even a little longer, we love it. This is what we love to do. That's why I've been doing it so long.
Well, bro, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. You guys are so much fun to work with, because I always know where I am with you guys. You guys are not passive aggressive. I think it's because you're from New York. I always know where I am with you, Brett, and JP. It's very easy to work with. I love it.
Yeah. Well, you're always in a good place on the top. You're good. Keep working hard and keep doing what you do. And hopefully we'll see you actually in person sometime soon. We haven't seen, Monica's on our show. We haven't seen Monica in over a year. Like, how absurd is that? You know, this whole thing is ridiculous. So hopefully everything's clearing up. We're almost done getting vaccinated. And hopefully we'll be able to travel soon and come to Tampa. And then we'll all get to see each other. And we'll see you soon.
I don't know when I saw you last, because I don't think you were
it's
at
been
the
a long time.
I don't think you were at the punch out when I fought Gareth in 2018. I don't know if you came in 2019. I wasn't but I wasn't at the Giants bar crawl. So it might be like 4 years since. I feel like I see you all the time because I see your tweets and we like each other's posts on Facebook and we work together. But I may not have seen you since like 2018.
That's right, because the Giants-Bucks game we came down for, you're right, we didn't see you that long weekend we were there. So I don't know. Maybe sometime in 19, maybe not. Maybe not safety, but you're right. I still feel like I see you. And thank God for social media. We can all feel like we're still seeing each other and close enough. So, but soon, in the flesh, we'll be there.
Awesome. Thank you again for everything, Roger, and keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks, Holly. Good to talk to you, buddy. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, bro.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
All right. Bye.